Are you interested in bringing communities together? Are you interested in bridging cultural and communication gaps? Are you interested in podcasting? We want to help build a better world through better understanding of one another. And we want to amplify your voice in the conversation. So bring your ideas and voice to the Venn Network. We will help you bring your voice to the world.
Two Iraqis came here to this country, were radicalized.
For that terror attack overseas.
Total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering
the... Assalamu alaikum, ladies and gentlemen. Assalamu alaikum, boys and girls. We are here. It is Tuesday night. It is 8:30 on the East Coast. And here we are once again doing another live episode of the Raw Islam Podcast. Tonight is episode 61. And it is kind of a bit of a bittersweet episode for us because we're getting ready to go on a little bit of a summer break. So we're going to be off for a couple of weeks, and we're going to miss you guys, and we're going to miss each other because I look forward to my weekly counseling sessions with the imam, and the imam's getting ready for some big things that are going to happen with him, but I'm not going to tell his story. I'm going to let him do it. So ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, here's the hardest working imam that I know, Imam Azhar.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace and greetings to all our listeners. On episode number 61 of our live stream and, of course, of our podcast, on behalf of Carl and I, we welcome you all to this mind-riveting discussion where we are very grateful to have you part and parcel of the conversation. We feel that it's important to create zones where conversations can occur, where differences can come together and not have to feel the need to merge or to compromise. We feel the need to continue speaking what we believe and how we believe it and make it relevant to the world that we live in. And that's why we have Raw Islam with Imam Azhar. And under the, in the small writing, it will say, and Brother Carl also. You may not see that on the title, but just too many words to put
into the
title
itself. Super small. It's so small.
No, but it's there. It's there. As Carl said, this will be our last live stream for the next month and a bit. We will be back, inshallah, in the first or second week of September. Until then, a lot is going to be happening. And that's what we want to talk about here. To get you up to date, Brother Carl will be out, and I myself will be moving to another state. We talked about it in one of our previous episodes. I'll be moving to Dallas. And upon moving there, inshallah, I'll be leaving for the Hajj, the pilgrimage. Last year, if you recall, we did promise our listeners to keep them posted from Hajj. And alhamdulillah, we were able to do so in one of those 2 weeks. Unfortunately, in the second week, we had lack of access to internet that could have provided us that stable streaming, the stability in streaming to you all. And so we had only one. This year, unfortunately, we are not going to be live streaming from there. So for the month of August, as you enjoy the time with your families and the Eid al-Adha, and of course, winter break for those who are up north, and back to school for those who are down south, we will come back to inshallah in September. But until then, today we have an episode, and we have a lot to cover in this episode. So, Carl, what do you say?
Let's get to it. I know I can hear the adhan going off in my background right now for Maghrib, but that's okay. Yeah, there is so much to go over. This is our farewell moment for this. Let's call it a season. Why not? And we have to go over some news items, and we have to. You had a couple of statements that you wanted to talk about during this episode, which rose more questions for me than anything. But that's okay. So yeah, let's get right to it. What are today's headlines?
So today we're going to be covering, inshallah, three specific topics. The first and foremost, to my listeners. We have many listeners from across the globe, including you who are listening right now. and they really don't know much about who I am and what I do. And I just want to give you, in a nutshell, a bit about myself as I prepare to leave Florida after 16 years of service. For those of us who are listening and know about my life, and maybe may have the opportunity to know a bit more. So I was born and raised in Canada, alhamdulillah, and I grew up in a family that we weren't really super religious or practicing. We prayed on and off. We tried to read the Quran, and Ramadan were special days and nights for us as a family that felt that religion was really Ramadan and the two Eids. I remember that in a young age, my brother went off to become a Hafiz of Quran, to memorize the Quran, and I followed suit just because he was my elder brother. I really didn't have an inclination towards studying religion because I really didn't know much about it than the basic that everyone in the culture knew at that time. But I felt I wanted to just follow his footsteps. Fast forward, after almost 10 and a half years of studying and traveling between America, Canada, and the UK, I graduated in the year 2000 with a master's in Islamic sciences and Sharia, and also Qira'ah, which is the recitation of the Holy Quran. I recall, Carl, the day that we were sitting in the upper floor of our masjid in England. The masjid, I think I talked about it before, is the size of a professional soccer field, as they would say in England, a football pitch. And there's not a single pillar in the masjid. So if you could see like a stadium, a pitch, it's humongous. There's not a single pillar in between the four walls of that masjid. And we had over 2,000, close to 3,000, if not more than 3,000 parents and families and friends that gathered for the third graduation ceremony of the institution. Keep in mind, the institution was founded in the 80s, and graduates would go to their final year to India, South Africa, Pakistan, or other countries. And we were the third class to graduate from the UK, having a Sheikh al-Hadith, which is a teacher of Hadith, on site, that would be teaching the final year of the strenuous journey of Islamic scholarship. And I still remember, Carl, that when we said the final Hadith of Bukhari, and it was like, it dawned on you, like, what you're going to do next. And I said to myself, and I said to Allah, that I would like to do something and give back to a people that which I never had when I was young. We never had access to scholars that understood our problems. We never had access to people in youth groups that kind of inspired us in our faith. There was a traditional stuff, some monthly gatherings or whatever else, but it wasn't as good as it is today. And so after traveling 1 year foreign, I got back home, and I saw that in Canada, there was a lot of scholars, a lot of mosques, and things were kind of, it was going good for Canada. A lot of youngsters were coming back in, bringing their knowledge, and they were sharing it with their mosques. And it became the norm that every mosque had two, if not three, if not four scholars in those mosques. So I wanted to go somewhere where there was no one, where I could really help. And I ultimately came to Florida. I came to Florida around end of August of 2002. Prior to that, I did come in the beginning of the year of 2002 to Tampa, but I did not like the atmosphere in which I was going to be working. Hence, I came back later to a smaller city, Fort Myers, where I served for 5.5 years. During that time, we suffered with hurricanes. I got to work with Governor Bush in hurricane relief. I was invited to the White House from President Bush to be a part of the White House faith-based and community initiatives. Worked with him 3 years on that. And those were some of the highs. Some of the lows were trying to continue to address the rise of Islamophobia post 9/11, the Iraq War, the Afghanistan War, and a lot of that stuff that continued to plague our societies and push us 20 steps back as we try to crawl one step forward. I then left the mosque and wanted to take on a new project, and I moved 35 miles north to another masjid where I served for 8 full years. In that time, I had the ability to work with a smaller congregation, but on a more productive level. In that span of time, we still saw Islamophobia rising. We still saw, you know, the Orlando shootings and many other things. We saw hurricanes and other things that happened during the course of that time that kept me thinking that how can we continue serving on a larger scale. So I left the masjid in 2015. For the last 2 years till this day, I've been traveling around the country trying to create some type of platform where people can work collectively, either it may be interfaith within masjids, intrafaith, as you would call it, with the youth, with the youngsters in universities. But now I've taken on a position to move to Dallas, inshallah, and be an imam at the IACC Plano Mosque, which is a beautiful masjid in the west side of Plano, serving close to 7,000 families and an amazing staff with great potential. The city of Dallas alone hosts 250,000 plus Muslims, and it's an epicenter for a lot of right-wing extremist ideologies, both from the religious aspect and from the political spectrum. My goal is to get there, inshallah, settle down, and to work in collaboration with the scholars and the Muslims of the community to ensure that we can do three things. Number one is stabilize the narrative of Islam. Number two, represent Islam from the masjid. And number three, produce a viable model of what an Islamic society should look like so that other masjids and other communities across the nation can replicate that. So that in a nutshell is my journey of life from my birth in Canada to my residence here in America for 16 years come next month. And let's throw it back to you, Carl. Any thoughts or comments?
I think it's sad that my immediate response, and I have to say this because if I don't prelude this, it sounds really weird if you don't know it, but my immediate reaction was, yes, I grew up on a poor black boy in the South. And if you've never seen the Steve Martin's The Jerk, that's how Steve Martin's The Jerk opens. Steve Martin opens the movie by going, "I grew up a poor black boy in the South." So anyway, I'm old and I like old movies. So there you go. But I think knowing what I know, that was a very eloquent synopsis of where you've been in the last 15 years or so. I know there's a few more sentences behind all of it, but mashallah, that was a lot, and you've done a lot, and honestly, alhamdulillah, I'm pleased to know you. I'm pleased to do this with you on a weekly basis. I see this as a blessing for me, and I hope other people that watch this and other people that are downloading this from all over the world, you know, I hope you guys get out as much of what he's saying as I do, because, you know, I since like episode 2 of this, you know, I've always told my wife that I love this because, and back then we were doing it on Thursdays, that I see this as my own private little khutbah. And I love these moments. And I consider you a good friend, and I consider you a close friend, and I know that this project isn't over with. We haven't done everything yet. Speaking of which, if you're listening to this right now and it's not past July 31st, go over to podcastawards.com and figure it out and vote for us. Nominate us so we can get nominated, so we can be nominated 2 years in a row. Yay! But that's my feedback is that it's, mashallah, you've done a lot. And alhamdulillah, I get to call you a friend. I get to do this with you. And I know that spirit of giving back is in you, and that spirit of community service is within you, because that's part of what we do here. I know when we first started, you know, you were like, oh, okay, yeah, let's do this, whatever, no big deal. And then I started showing you the numbers, and I started showing you the people that we were reaching, and I started showing you the number of people that were watching or downloading or listening, and you realized that you were reaching more people. Now, granted, it's not the size of the ICC, but it's still a large group of people from all over the world and all different walks of life, and even in the 61 episodes, we've had a few people that weren't Muslim that made comments that we answered successfully. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's my two cents. Back to you.
Well, Alhamdulillah, the point that it comes down to is that after 14 years of service, and thank you for the kind words, Brother Carl, it's actually, I actually look at it in a different way, to know you and to be able to speak to you on a weekly basis. It's actually very heartwarming, someone I can confide in, and we could talk a bit before the talk and also kind of catch up with each other after the podcast. It means a lot. So Alhamdulillah, that's Allah's blessing. He brings people together, and he brings people together so that we can experience these epic relationships that we wouldn't have otherwise. And that's why Islam promotes this and pushes us towards it by telling us to go congregate together and pray and go and help the world together, because that togetherness is what Jama'a is known as. Jama'a means a congregation, the unified body, which makes the Ummah what it is. It means the human, the world, the body of human race and the jinn kind, regardless of the color of their skin or, you know, their age or their gender. It's just, we're just one people. And, you know, one thing I had expressed to many people, especially here in Florida, after 14 years of being an imam and telling them that, you know, I hung up my boots basically and I'm done with this and I don't want to go back into a masjid. And they're like, so you're going back to a masjid? And I did make those statements, and I stand by those statements because I felt that being confined within four walls and assuming that you can make a difference is ludicrous, basically. You have to work to bring the world to the four walls, and then the four walls, the people who are in it, to the world. What I felt that as an imam, we're constantly being told to be in-house, but know about what's happening in the world and address those people accordingly. So I was very much against being just the day in, day out, you know, cookie cutter imam. I really wanted to do something. I still want to do something in life. And sometimes the frustration gets to a level where you question so many things. The difference is that this masjid that they're hiring me is to do exactly the stuff that I'm passionate about doing, but doing it with the community and through the community and for the community as we go on a statewide and hopefully national and international level on addressing matters, bringing forth solutions, empowering people, enriching their spirituality, allowing them to understand who they are and what they're made to do, and allowing them to do that perfectly. That's part of the human body. So yes, as an imam, it's a tough thing, but we have to understand that for Islam's continuity and stability, the mosque is really the only infrastructure we have in this country, especially in this country, that can really facilitate providing that opportunity. Remember my words, facilitate providing that opportunity. If they do it or not, that's a different thing. And as we see, Islam is growing globally, and we see that there is a shortage of masjids all over. And then we see that where there are masjids, there's a shortage of leaders and imams. It's alarming and it's heartbreaking if you feel that you're supposed to be somewhere, but you don't want to do it. Now, many people say that, oh, there are so many imams and khatibs. We've got it all wrong here in America. A khatib, we consider them to be imams. It's because they can speak better English and they can talk about relevant stuff. We call them imams. An imam is someone who, through their knowledge and experience, leads the community through and forward. A khatib may be someone who's up to date with the news and has certain insight on matters and some connection to certain people, but they cannot lead. And so a lay person cannot be an imam. This has to be really clarified. Anyone who's not educated in Islam, regardless if they're really street smart, they cannot be an imam. And as an imam, if you are only educated Islamically and not street smart, then you're flawed in your leadership. So an imam is someone who has to be religiously rooted in their knowledge, a scholar, and they have to understand the community, the people, the time, and the place that they are serving and serve accordingly. And since we see such a large shortage of that, Carl, I think it's important to get back and make sure that that shortage is addressed by hopefully inspiring others to do that. But you know, Carl, it's so sad that in our culture, and I know you're not born into the culture of the Muslim community, we really demonize scholars. We really demonize our leaders and preachers and those who preach from the pulpit and lead the prayers. And I don't say demonize in that derogatory fashion. I mean, in the sense that we look down on them. I think that's a better word. We look down on them like they're not good enough for society. They're just an imam. They're a fakir, as we say, a poor person. And so that culture has resulted in our children and families not interested at all. Forget the top 10, the top 1 million on the list of things that our child can potentially do or I can potentially do in my life. It's not something we want to do. But on the flip side, we're constantly looking for spiritual advice, counseling, and mentoring, constantly calling the mosques or texting imams or running to mosques for those solutions, but we don't want to be a part of that solution. So we're living at a time where Islam is so much needed, and i.e. doesn't mean that we need to proselytize or propagate the message. We need to stabilize the narrative and the message, but we don't have the people willing to do it, nor do you have people who know about it willing to do it. What's your thoughts? How's it up north?
You know, I was listening to you speak about that, and I know this is, how's this for offensive? Carl, you weren't born into the Muslim culture. Alhamdulillah. And I know that sounds mean, but the truth is that I know when I converted and I started becoming engrossed in my local community, there was a lot of, oh, you can't do that, and oh, you can't do this, and this is how things are done, and this is the way we do things. And I was always like, show me. And they're like, what? Show me. Okay, example. And I swear I'm not picking on my wife. I swear I'm not. This was just a really good example. When I converted and we had some, and I got married, not simultaneously, we had some food in the kitchen one day and it had gone bad and I had to throw it away. So mm-hmm. I threw it away. Mm-hmm. And my wife says, haram, you're wasting food. And for every piece of food that you waste, it chases you in hell, in the afterlife. Your the food chases you that you've wasted. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh yeah. And I said, you know, that makes sense and sounds logical. Mm-hmm. And then I work with a lot of Muslims, and one day we brought that, somebody said, oh yeah, the food chases you through hell. I was like, yeah, I know. My wife taught me that. That's exactly. And then somebody else was like, yeah, that's not real. I said, what? Mm-hmm. And they explained to me that it's one of those things that parents tell their children mm-hmm. to make them eat their vegetables, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's why when people say things like, oh, you weren't raised in this culture, I say, alhamdulillah. Because there is so much culture that is injected into the religion that when somebody tells you something, this is Islam and this is the way it is, as a Muslim, whether you were born into this, whether you've been reading the Quran in Ramadan your whole life, you know, you figure the average person, let's say 10, I know that's way late, but let's say 10, the average person can read 10 fluently, and say they're 40 years old now. You've been reading the Quran every Ramadan for 30 years, mashallah. But if you don't know and you don't say, and somebody tells you something and you don't say, show me where that's written, show me the hadith, show mm-hmm. me in the Quran, that's when our internal problems start. Mm-hmm. And we do have a lot of internal problems. And in listening to you describe the problem of our community with the imams, uh-huh. all I could think of, that's a very Muslim problem. That uh-huh. is exactly what I would expect from a Muslim community. Uh-huh. Oh, we want our children to be doctors and lawyers and whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't want him to be an imam. But we need a good imam, but not my kid.
Exactly.
Well, you can't. That's not the way life works, yo.
Well, that you said it pretty clearly. You know, we know the need is there, but we don't want to be a part of facilitating that need. And that's perfectly fine. If Carl has five kids and he doesn't want any one of them to become an imam, nor do they want to become an imam, that's perfectly fine. But if you then create a negative culture that anyone who had any slight inclination towards considering thinking about being an imam is turned off, well, then you become counterproductive. Not only counterproductive, but you become adverse. You are actually becoming the problem. You could actually just say no, but there's a difference between saying no and throwing a tantrum, and that's exactly what's happening. And so, you know, that kind of sums up why I feel the need is there to kind of just get back in next 3 to 5 to 10 years, I don't know, whatever Allah wants, and really weather the storm. It's never been easy. And my advice to communities are, if you have an imam, be grateful. If you have an imam that understands you, be extra grateful. If you have an imam that not only knows and understands you, but then can lead you, you should be super grateful. And if your imam, on top of all this, the cherry on the cake is, if they are patient and they sacrifice themselves and their family and their kids for you, you better not forget that. Because nowhere else do you, as anyone who's listening, and correct me, comment, that you go out of your way every day for your job without getting paid for it, or without getting any recognition for it, or without getting any cut off, like, okay, tomorrow come late because you work 20 minutes tonight. It doesn't happen, nor do we do it, because the culture isn't there. If you're doing a 9-to-5 office job, the culture is 9-to-5. Overtime is not even there anymore in many of these big jobs. But when we expect the imam to do it and you see the imam doing it, you should really write a thank you letter, sisters. And brothers should go give a hug to the imam and thank him from the bottom of your heart, because you don't know what sacrifices they're making. And the second those imams are gone, I promise you, generations will be lost. And I'm seeing it happen from my own eyes.
So I know I've been over here waving my arms like I'm having some kind of fit, but it's because we have a comment from Sister Layla that, Salam, Sister Layla, happy you're here tonight, that I actually want to respond to, because for multiple reasons here. So, Sister Layla, I hope you're with us. If you're still listening, give us a thumbs up or a like, or just comment still here, something, so I know you're still here, so I know you hear this. Otherwise, I will hit you up on Twitter later. So Imam Azhar has been packing his house so that he can move from Florida to Texas. And oh, there it is. She's still listening. Good. And like I said earlier, you know, last week, I've been getting up for Fejr and it's kicking my butt, but I'm going to keep pushing. And we're taking a break for summer vacation. He's going to move. I have to travel for a wedding overseas, the whole nine yards. So while the mood of this in particular episode is very sullen and almost very final, please recognize that I'm tired, he's tired, and this is his final for Florida. In September, inshallah, ya Rab, we will be back. But I want to read you her comment so that you understand. She says, thank you for sharing your knowledge with us and many others. May Allah continue to guide you and increase your knowledge in Islam, and may He grant you wisdom. I will truly miss the lectures every week. We're not done yet. This show, this network, all of this, it's not done yet. We're just... He's got to move and I've got to travel. So we're just taking a knee for a minute. Not like Colin Kaepernick. because we're literally just need to breathe for a second. Mm-hmm. And in September, inshallah, we'll be back. So unfortunately, Sister Layla and all the other regular listeners, we're not going to be live here on Facebook. I think I've got it set so that you will get the episodes in your podcatcher on your phones, so you can continue to listen to us while we're moving and changing and getting life set up. But we're not done. We're not going anywhere. We're here because we love what we do. And, you know, the other thing I was thinking about when you were talking about, you know, taking the community outside and bringing the community inside and all of that, mm-hmm. is the beautiful thing about what we do here. Mm-hmm. We don't have walls. Mm-hmm. Our walls are the internet. Anybody that can access Facebook is in our community. Anybody that can go to a website is in our community. Anybody that can has a podcatcher on their phone, iTunes, Google Podcast, whatever. Hey, speaking of which, Google launched a brand new podcast app just for you. I kid you not. Uh-huh. Anyway, Geek Talk. That's our building. That's our audience. So I just want to make sure that anybody listening to this live or post, we're not done. We're not going. We're just taking a moment to recognize the end of Imam Azhar's 14 years of service in Florida and on the East Coast.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Just to as we conclude, thank you, Sister Layla, for your concerns. This is going to be the end of a season. We'll begin our fall season, inshallah, in September from Dallas and continuing from Virginia. 16 years of living here in Florida. We're moving to Dallas. And that's what we discussed in the course of the podcast today. In addition to talking about my life and talking about my time in Florida, there's so many good things and so many challenging things and so many scary moments of my life here in Florida that I'm leaving behind. But all in all, life is full of lessons. And I tell my listeners this, and I tell the congregation this, life is full of lessons. How you take them and receive them or discard them or abandon them, it defines you, refines you, or I don't want to say anything beyond that. It can either define you in the sense of your negligence, or it can refine you by making you into a better person.
What doesn't kill us makes us stronger.
What doesn't kill us makes us stronger, and the whole life is supposed to make us stronger. Thank you so much for that, Carl. And I spoke about you know, my life and my service in Florida. In the next chapter, I talked about also imams and how important it is for us to work in collaboration. I call on all organizations, Islamic organizations especially, those that are rooted within communities, those which are local and statewide or national, those that attend any specific or particular masjid. It is imperative that if you want your mission or message to be successful, in the absence of your imam or your leader, it's not going to happen. Just keep my words in the back of your head. And remember, I made that statement a day after President Trump made the obnoxious statements in Russia. Just write that down, that if you're not going to work with your leaders of faith, you're not going to succeed in what you do. And I see great turmoil, not only here in the state, but I see it happening across the country, where we're kind of competing and challenging who is defined as a leader. And that's a topic we have in the day. We don't ruin this discussion today. But I want to end by leaving everyone with two things. The final point that I want to discuss tonight is that as we say farewell for the next month, and I say farewell to Florida, I want you all tonight to read or Google the farewell sermon of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, where he talked about the sanctity of life and sanctity of property, where he talked about bygones be bygones, where he talked about the rights of women, where he talked about there's no superiority complex, where he talked about end of racism and prejudice. 23 years of work, 23 years of revelation, 23 years of communication, 23 years of interaction, 23 years of delegations, 23 years of movement, 23 years of building communities can be summarized and is summarized in a nutshell in the farewell ceremony, which was given by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, on the ninth day of Zilhijjah, the day before the second Eid in Islam, which is happening next month while we'll be in Hajj, inshallah. He gave a sermon in Arafat where he told us, O Muslims, O world, keep these pointers in front of you. And all the problems that we have in our world today, from racism, prejudice, white supremacy, hatred, whatever is happening, take it back to the Prophet's farewell sermon. I don't want to spoil this episode by talking about what Trump said in Russia, in Helsinki, Finland, in front of Vladimir Putin of Russia. It's not worth our time, but it is worth your time to understand that these problems that we see happening in the greater world are happening within our small worlds, within our communities, within our circles. And so take the season of Hajj, which is the final month of the Islamic calendar before the year 1440 comes in. Let us take some time and do something right. Let us reevaluate when we talk about sanctity of life and wealth and property. Let's reevaluate about letting bygones be bygones. Let's reevaluate how we treat others instead of how we are treated by others. Let's reevaluate how racism and prejudice continues to fester in our own communities, forget the greater community. And let's then address these things for the sake of God, because if we're not going to do it, talk is cheap and talk will continue to be cheap and tomorrow it's going to be irrelevant. And as Allah says in the chapter of the cow, in the third page of the Quran, He says, summun bukmun umyun. He says, deaf, dumb, and blind. What's happening is when humanity fails to see the problems in themselves, they will really see in others. And when they fail to see it in others and in the society, they will become deaf, dumb, and blind of the existence of those problems. Those problems aren't going to go away. They will just become the norm of society. So we end by asking Allah to help us as individuals, help our circles, our families and friends, help our communities, help our nation, and help our world to know what's right as right and to live it, and to know what's wrong as wrong and to detest it and work against it. Ameen. And before I give it back to Carl, my final point of the two is, this is a podcast which we extended to live streaming. It's on YouTube, it's on Facebook, but your interaction, your communications are vital. You can communicate with us while we're here live, and you can also email us on the email address below. Even after you download Raw Islam and become a subscriber to the podcast on Google Play or Apple iTunes, we want you to please be part of the family by not just listening, but by sharing, by downloading, and by telling others to download. And lastly, as Carl said, we are in the season for nominating podcast of the year. As Carl believes, and I also believe, we're the only Muslim-based podcast. I know we're not talking about Muslims over other religions, but rather it's that there's a voice out there which we feel can only get better. We're not saying we're the best. We feel that with your interaction, your commitment, your presence, it's only going to get better. So if you want to make that your bigger and larger, then we need to kind of be a part of it. So if you can vote for us, and Carl will inshallah explain to us how that can be done, your votes will be much appreciated to give us that level of exposure that others will also become a part of it. We are trying to build something grassroots. You are part of this grassroots movement, and we hope you continue to do your little part to make this better. And for that, I say thank you to all of you.
Ameen. And Ameen. For Sister Layla, I really hope you don't think that this was our final episode, because you are so not getting rid of me that easily. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, yes, we are trying to get nominated for a 2018 podcast award. You can nominate us by going to podcastawards.com And at the little top right there, it says, fill out this form or log in or something. There's a video. I'll put it in the comments down below, inshallah. But fill out the form, create an account, go in and nominate us. Find us. Find us under religion. Find us under people's choice. Go nominate us. Let the people know that your voice is being heard. If you feel we speak for you and you feel we share a commonality in our voice, share the link. Get your friends. Get their friends to get their friends, because that's the only way we can get nominated. The actual voting podcast for the actual award, there's a whole committee for that, and there's a whole thing with that. But we're the ones that need to get nominated. It's you guys that nominate us to get us in front of that panel. If you don't nominate us, we don't get in front of that panel. So rattle those networks, folks. And Layla, I know you got a Twitter network, so get out there, get them to vote, and I'll get you whatever assets you need to make your fans vote. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the end of this episode, and we are going to go on our summer vacation, and we will return this fall, inshallah. I would like to remind everybody that we are at the vennetwork.org, where you can find really super cool vennetwork.org apparel. We are on Patreon, where you can go and support the network and the shows on the network. Podcastawards.com, I covered that. I think that's about it. Yeah, I guess that's it, everybody. Have a good summer. Eid Mubarak to all of you, because we won't be here. Mm-hmm. So Eid Mubarak to everybody. And until this fall, we will say Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
First of all, we should develop detention centers for them.
Everywhere there is Islam, you'll find women oppressed.
This has been a production of the Venn Network.